And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
So for those that are not with us regularly, our normal means of our sermon series are teaching through books of the Bible. We want to make it a normative process to teach through books, beginning to end. And that's purposeful, so that I don't skip the hard stuff. But through the summer, we tend to change our pace a little bit because many people travel throughout the summer. People are in and out. And so we try to offer a more topical series throughout the summer. And this summer, in talking with the elders really recommended me to think about preaching through a series on our proposed mission, vision, and values. And so for those that do not know, some of you, this may be the first time you've interacted with any of this information, but we as elders have spent over a year, probably a year and a half, kind of prayerfully seeking the Lord on what kind of our direction is as a church, where the Lord is leading us as a church. And so this has been a process that we've wanted to say, this isn't just something that comes out of our heads, out of our hearts, but we want to provide something to you that comes from the scriptures. We want to provide something to you that resonates with our people. And so this has been a process that we as elders have met. We've included a few of core individuals as we've met. We've had sessions of praying and fasting before we meet to discuss these things. We've included our larger leadership team to discuss these things. We've invited you in for a meeting to discuss these things. And understand, the more people you talk to, the more opinions we have on these things. And there's no way for us to have 100% buy-in, no matter how long and how hard we work to define a mission, a vision, and a values statements. But what we've heard consistently is people have appreciated the statements that we have in their content. Oftentimes people say, well, maybe you could use this word differently, or maybe this phrase could be worded a little differently. But holistically, what we've heard is people have said, I like the content of the message behind this. And so understand, we could spend all of eternity trying to wordsmith every little detail of these words to make it perfect. But as elders, we've said, let's convey this message as clearly as we can as we talk about our mission, our values, and our vision. And so this will be a 9-week series. So today we're talking about what is our mission, and then I'll spend 7 weeks talking about our values. What are the things we want to value as a church? What are the things that matter to us? And I hope as we go through this, you're going to see these are biblical things. These aren't things that I'm just pulling out of thin air. These are biblical things. And then the final week, we'll look at vision, casting some vision as a church. And so we want to spend the summer kind of saying, who do we want to be? Where do we want to go as a church? And understand, with any of this, hopefully we're already doing a lot of these things. But we want to continue to grow in these things together. And so I want to pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll begin to look at this together. Father, we just come to you. And we ask that you speak to us through your word. As we talk about tangible things for our church, I pray that each and every person here would see that these aren't just our ideas, but these are biblical ideas. These are ideas from you. We pray for just your guidance and your direction, that you would teach us now. And Lord, we pray that you would give us purpose as a congregation, that we would see the role we play in your bigger kingdom expansion that you have going on all around the world, that we see purpose in the mission of the gospel, the message of the gospel. Teach us now, Lord. Direct us now. Amen. So it's interesting when you come to a mission statement for a church. We hear a lot about mission, vision, and values for corporate America. We hear a lot of things of this is the way we're giving direction for this. And in some ways, a mission statement for a church will be similar. But in a lot of ways, a mission statement for a church will be very different than corporate America. Because corporate America is really all about how do we make money? What can we do to expand our brand, to expand our message? But a mission statement for a church, it's actually not about us at all. It's about Jesus. It's about expanding his name, his glory. And we are participants in this greater mission, this greater message. And so some of you will come and you have expectations of what this will look like from a business standpoint, but understand we're not a business, we're a family. We're the family of God, eternally connected as we think about this. A part of a big C church all around the world of people seeking to fulfill this same mission together. And so early in my ministry here, so I've been here almost 2 years now, and so it was about a year and a half or so ago, we talked through what is our mission, and we talked about what is the mission of God. And I actually taught through this very same passage, and I hope you see what is the mission of God, and when we get to what is our mission, hopefully those two are the same thing. Hopefully they're not disconnected when we think about what is our mission. What are we trying to accomplish here as the church? And so we go today to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So it's this idea that Jesus is passing on his mission to his disciples that has been passed on generation by generation to us. So as we think about what is our mission, the core of this is what is God's mission. And we get our mission from God's mission. And so our big idea today, if you get nothing else, I hope you understand this. Jesus leaves his disciples with a mission that is still applicable today. So Jesus leaves his disciples with a mission that is still applicable today. Oftentimes, skeptics of the Bible come and say, yeah, but that book's outdated. And I'd argue this is still, this passage today is still just as timely and important for us as it was for Jesus' disciples. For his direct disciples, as he left them, as he commissioned them with the Great Commission. This mission is still applicable to us, right here, right now. And so one of the things, I actually it was an email this week from a group that's kind of talking about things like mission, vision, and values. And they said when a church has a mission statement that's biblically driven, directed by the Spirit of God, something unique happens. It gives us purpose. Purpose. And so my hope is that through this, we understand our purpose, not just something coming from me, but our purpose biblically. Our purpose, our directive biblically from Jesus himself. And so today we're going to look at three aspects of the Great Commission. We'll see the authority of Jesus, the commission of Jesus, the promise of Jesus. And so understand, we taught through this in the last year and a half. I won't spend a ton of time in explanation of the text as I normally would, but I want to use the text and talk about the text as a springboard to tie it to our mission statement here as the church. So first we look at the authority of Jesus, and this is in Matthew 28, verse 18. And understand, the context of this statement, this is after the resurrection. So this is in the context of Jesus has stepped out of the grave alive. This is the foundation for this statement. Is Jesus is the one that defeated sin, death, and Satan, stepped out of the grave alive, and now he's about to end his earthly ministry, ascend to the right hand of the Father, and he leaves his disciples with this statement. Final words matter. And these are his final words that he leaves to his disciples as he ends his earthly ministry. In verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" And we hear these statements, we just run right past them. But this is a really important statement. Notice he doesn't say, "Partial authority has been given to me. Some authority has been given to me." He says, "All authority."
Just think about that. All authority. And how did he prove that he has all authority when he steps out of the grave alive? He conquers the consequences of sin. The payment for sin was his death. He conquers death itself. And he conquers the serpent of old and Satan. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3. He's showing, I'm in charge of all of it. And so he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. If that's true, Jesus is worth following. If that's true, Jesus is worth seeking after. If he actually has the authority he claims here, this is a really important statement as we follow. So we start by just recognizing this authority, all-encompassing authority. And the beauty of this great commission is then we have what's called derived authority. So he has absolute authority, and he's saying, and therefore I'm giving you authority to go and do something as my representatives. I'm commissioning you to go and do something as my representatives. So understand, what we're presenting today is from the elders. This isn't from our authority. This is from the authority of Jesus, as we see in this text. And so we want the Great Commission to be our driver for our own mission statement as a church. And so with the authority of Jesus, we now get to the commission of Jesus in verses 19 and the first part of verse 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. So he says, I have all authority, and now I'm passing some authority to you. And what is he asking us to do? He says, go make disciples. And understand, this isn't just talking to a random group of people that happened upon Jesus. These are his closest disciples, his apostles that had spent years following him. And now he's saying, as I end my earthly ministry, I pass on my ministry to you. And he says, go therefore and make disciples. And if you look at this in the Greek, the idea is that it carries with it, make disciples. Everything centers around make disciples. The go here is actually more of as you go, wherever you go, make disciples. And so the reality is, as a church, this is a relatively transient community. There will be some people that are here for a year, for 3 years, for 5 years. And some of you, your job will take you to the other side of the world. Some of you, it'll be to the other side of the country. Some will be just a few towns away. But our goal, when we think about this, is to equip you for however long you're here, to understand your role in making disciples, so that wherever you go, you then go with this healthy biblical mentality to another place with the same mentality to pass this on there. And so I take this seriously when it says, as you go or wherever you go, my job is not to hold you and keep you here, but actually it's the Lord leads you to release you, to encourage you, to support you, to celebrate that. But some of you, the Lord will keep you here in Marblehead. And we want to think about how do we go across the street or go to the other side of the world through our missions program, through investing and encouraging missionaries around the world, but also for us seeing that our neighborhood, our neighbors, our workplace, the places we shop, the places we spend our recreation time, they matter to God. And so as you're going, make disciples. And notice it doesn't say make disciples of the people that I like. Make disciples of the people that fit into my clique, to my friend group. It says make disciples of all nations. I'd argue all throughout the Old Testament, you see this picture that God is a God that cares about the nations. In Revelation, you see people from every tribe, tongue, nation, language. and people surrounded around the throne to worship Jesus. And so he takes this command seriously. And we live in an area that you don't have to go far to find people from every tribe, tongue, language, and people, nation. There's opportunities right in front of us regularly. And so for us, that means from Marblehead to the ends of the earth. But the ends of the earth may actually be just in Lynn. How do we engage? How do we interact with these things? How do we engage with people from the ends of the earth, from all nations? And this sounds so simple, right? Go therefore and make disciples. But the reality is, if I were to ask you, what does it mean to make a disciple? And I went person by person, I think we'd all have some different definition. So this is hard because it begins to feel very subjective because we've defined discipleship in different ways throughout time and space. Well, what I want to point us to is Jesus actually defines discipleship here as he explains to them what to do. So he says, as you're going, make disciples of all nations. And then he says, how do you make disciples? What are you trying to accomplish here? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And you may say, well, that doesn't help me at all. But this is actually really important. Because when he talks about baptism, I'd argue he's saying, help people to identify with me. When we baptize people, we're saying, you're now identifying yourself with Christ. Identifying with his death, that his death was enough to cover your sins. And you're identifying with his life, that he overcame sin, death, and Satan to step out of the grave alive. So I'd argue Jesus is saying here, he's saying, go make disciples. And of core purpose is our identity in Christ. So what we want to do as a church is we want to help people identify with Christ, with a relationship with Jesus, to follow Jesus. And then he says, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. So there is information transfer, but this is more than just sitting in a classroom and taking a class at a university for this. Because he says, teaching them to observe or to put into practice everything I've commanded you. Previously, when I talked about this, I said it was like it's the head, the heart, and the hands. So it's the head teaching them information, it's the heart, the identity in baptism, and it's the hands putting it into practice. So Jesus here, he defines kind of what this looks like. But I wrestled this week for quite a while with this statement of teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. What did Jesus command us? Well, here he's commanding us to make disciples, but he's saying teach them all I've commanded you. And what did he command us? What did he say? And I found Matthew 22 helpful, verses 36 through 40. So Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, it says this. Jesus is asked by the religious leaders, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? So he's asked, what rule, what commandment matters the most? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So this is part of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:5, where he's saying throughout the Jewish history, they quoted this and they said, we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. He said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. So when Jesus says, teaching them all that I've commanded you, he summarizes the entirety of the Old Testament law in two statements. Love God and love people. So what we want to pass on as a church, as we disciple people, is we want to teach people to love God or to follow Jesus. And we want to teach people to love people. I say this regularly. I want us to see every person as an image bearer of God that matters in God's sight. I want us to see every person as someone that matters. And so these two ideas, this is often called the great commandment, that he says, love God, love people. So taking the great commandment along with the great commission, it has led us as a church, as leadership, to come up with a mission statement. And it's attempting to put these two together and to define discipleship in a way that we can all get behind, that we can all understand. And so Clayton, if you can move on to the mission statement slide here. This is a statement we've come up with. The wording is not perfect, I promise, because I was a part of organizing it. And 5 or 6 times we've tried to figure out, can we use a different word than equip? And every time we came back to, no, I don't think we can. And I'll explain why. So equip here is kind of an all-encompassing word that we're using to define similar to discipleship. To make disciples. We want to equip. That's what discipleship is. To equip one another. And understand here, I'm just going to read the statement, then I'll explain through it a bit. Our mission is to equip one another to follow Jesus, love his church, and engage the community. And so why do we use equip? Sure, we could have said help, encourage, teach, train. But equip carries with it almost like this idea of an apprentice that's learning underneath someone. If someone's learning welding, they have to go through an apprenticeship most of the time. They have a process where they're watching someone do this. So we want to equip, we want to train up one another through this process. And the beauty of this idea is I can only teach you what I know. I can't teach from something I don't know myself. I can't model something that I don't know myself. And so the goal of this is to equip and to say to one another, I don't know it all, but I'll teach you what I know. I'll help equip you with what I know. And we chose to use the words one another here because we want to make it clear. This isn't something that is my job only. This isn't something that's the elder's job only. This is something that's for the whole church. Why is that? The Great Commission we just read, he says, you go make disciples, each and every one of you. And it's something we all do together. And as we think about the church, God has gifted you in ways that he hasn't gifted me. And he's gifted me in ways that he hasn't gifted you. And there will be aspects as we interact with one another that God will use it to teach us. I learn things from you all the time. And occasionally you might learn some things from me. But that's the goal behind this, is that we equip one another. And now as an attempt, when Jesus says, teaching them all that I've commanded you, to observe all that I've commanded you, we've tried to break down this idea of loving God and loving people. And instead of keeping it simple, we made it more complicated. And we did it through the lens of loving God. We said, equipping one another to follow Jesus. We could have just said to love God, but in a community that's more and more inclusive, we wanted to be explicitly Christian. We wanted to be explicitly followers of Jesus, and we want to say, we want to teach one another to follow Jesus. He's the center point of everything we do, everything we're about. So we want to teach people about this vertical relationship. And so it's an explanation for this. We've tried to define this or expand this out a little bit. Following Jesus, Jesus provides each person with the opportunity for a relationship with God. Because of our belief in Jesus as Savior and Lord, we joyfully follow him wherever he leads. So as you go, wherever you go, wherever he leads you to go, He's provided us with a relationship through his finished work upon the cross. And because of our belief in him, we go wherever he leads. Now, this is something right now, but as the Lord leads in 5 years, it may look different in your life. That we're perpetually seeking to follow the Lord together, to follow Jesus together. So primarily, we want to equip one another to follow Jesus in this vertical relationship that we're offered with God. Then from here, we have a horizontal relationship with people. How did Jesus talk about this? He says, love God, love people. And we're just trying to define that. And loving people, it takes two directions. Where first, we love his church. That's you. That's me. That we love one another. And that's primarily shown in this local community. But that doesn't end here. We see biblically that there are Christians all around the world, and we're all part of an eternal family together. And so we're also loving his church around the world as well. And so our attempt to define this, we said this: Jesus has made us part of his eternal family, so we cherish Christian community. Every follower of Jesus has a part to play in God's kingdom. And we want to be a picture of God's love in the way that we love one another. 1 John tells us, in the way that we love one another, the world will know that you love me. So, vertical relationship with God, horizontal relationship with his church, and then also with the community around us. So this last portion is engage the community. Jesus left his followers with marching orders to tell the world his good news. We hope to engage the community around us in a winsome way with the hope that God would use our feeble efforts to draw hearts to himself. This is one of the least reached counties in the country at this point. This matters. Engaging the community matters right now, every day, everywhere we go, everything we do, things we do corporately and things we do individually. And so I want to encourage us to really think about this. The part of this horizontal relationship of loving people is loving people that do not yet believe in Jesus. Meeting them where they're at. Because the reality is, someone at some point met you where you were at. They didn't say, okay, clean your life up and then we'll figure it out. They said, no, let's talk here and now where you're at. And so we equip one another to follow Jesus, love his church, and engage the community. And understand, this is discipleship. This is trying to put legs to Jesus' call to go and make disciples. And we can spend the rest of our lives better understanding how to follow Jesus, love his church, and engage the community. That's a lifelong process and journey that we'll have together. I'm not telling you we have all the answers to that. I'm saying we will walk through this together as we seek to put it into practice with one another. And so as we think about this, we then return to the text here, and we see the end of verse 20. It gives us great hope. Because for me, if I just read this text and I hear this mission statement, I say, I can't do that. This is too big for me. This is beyond me. Well, we have to return to the text for this third aspect of the Great Commission, the promise of Jesus. And hear the promise of Jesus. He says, as you do this, the end of verse 20 says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he starts by saying, the authority's mine, I pass it on to you. And he ends by saying, but you're not doing it by yourself. And we see this fulfilled in Pentecost in the coming of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said, I must go, but I'll send a helper to help you. And so the promise of Jesus here as we end this text is he says, and I'll be with you through the work of my Spirit. He says, and I'll be with you until the end of the age, until this is accomplished, until I return to make all the wrong things right. He says, but for now, while you wait, I send you out with this mission. And the beauty is, each and every one of us get to play a part in a big, big, big story. God could write it in the clouds. And yet, he's chosen to use you. And me, broken vessels to proclaim his excellencies. The treasure of Christ presented in jars of clay. He says, but don't worry, I'm with you. If you're a follower of Jesus, the scriptures tell us that now we have the Spirit of God residing in us, living in us, to guide us. He says, you're not doing this alone. You're doing this with my help, with my strength, with my authority, is what Jesus is saying here. So we could spend years unpacking this, and we will hopefully spend years unpacking this together. But as we think about a mission statement, I hope it's something we can remember. Follow Jesus, love his church, engage the community. We want to teach each other to do that. We want to equip each other to do that. But I hope that you see this comes from the Great Commission here and the great commandment of Jesus as we seek to give legs and feet to this call of Christ in Matthew 28. And so as we prepare to close, I have three questions for us just as a guide to cause you to think. Because if you're not careful, you'll say, that's great for them to do. Versus, that's great for us to do. So three questions just to get you thinking. First question, how is God calling you to participate in his great commission? What part do you play in this? How has God placed you here for a purpose to engage in this great commission, to make his name known to the nations? Second question goes from the individual to the corporate. What are the next steps that we need to take as a church to better fulfill the great commission? What do we need to do as a congregation? And understand, we're spending some time. I have a core group of leaders there. It's about 10 individuals. We're meeting once a month to talk about what is discipleship and what are we actually trying to teach to one another here as a church. And so as we get more clarity with that, we'll begin passing that on to you with the idea and the plan that you'll pass it on to other people as well. But one easy example of this, of what are the next steps, is something like Grief Share. What is Grief Share trying to do? It says, as people grieve, as people struggle, as people mourn, we want to help them follow Jesus with a vertical relationship. And we want to offer this to the church as a love to the church, as a care for the church. And we want to try to engage the community through this. All three aspects of our mission statement are taking place in something like Grief Share. I just love that we prayed for that today because it's timely, because these are the kinds of things that we want to consider how to better do in following Jesus, loving his church, and engaging the community. So what are the next steps? I didn't come to Lisa and say, hey, Lisa, I think you should do Grief Share. Lisa came to me and said, hey, God's put it on my heart. I'm interested in doing Grief Share. God may put something on your heart today that he may use for us to better do these things in following Jesus, loving his church, and engaging the community. What are the next steps that we need to take as a church? I view you as a participant in this. So if you're interested in talking, schedule a time, let's talk. And the final question, is how will you remind your heart that your work is not by your own power and authority? If we're not careful, we'll go, okay, American individualism, pull myself up by my bootstraps and do my best, and I'm just going to power through something. But no, this passage, it begins with authority and it ends with presence. The authority of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. How will you remind your heart that this is not by your own power, this is by his power within you. This is not by your own authority, but this is the authority of Jesus passed to you. And you may be here and you're not a Christian, you're going, I don't know anything about the mission of God. But you may be saying, this is something of interest to me. It sounds like you're offering purpose to the world. And I'd argue Jesus transforms our life and offers purpose, eternal purpose for us, meaning and value to life. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, you talk with me. I'd love to talk with you about this purpose we're offered in Jesus Christ. But for Christians, and particularly for our church members here, I hope this gives you some direction and purpose for us as we think about this together. So I want to pray, and then we'll have a chance to sing together. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word. There's no way for us as elders to do justice to your call, to your great commission, to your great commandment. There's so many things in your scriptures that we could focus on. Continue to give us clarity and vision and direction on what to focus on, when to focus on it, and how to focus on it. Lord, I pray that you would just use our efforts here to see that a relationship with you is of the utmost importance, and to see that people matter to you. And because they matter to you, they matter to us. Lord, we thank you for your work in our hearts. May we forever respond in thankfulness to pass this message on to others. Amen.